And we're in Moshe, Bible Adventures with Moshe, and so we're in Shemot, which is Exodus. We are on the burning bush here, which I don't need to talk about very much because I have the manuscript out here and the tape set on the burning bush, and how it is the whole plan of God is in the burning bush story here, and it just gets played out in the whole rest of your Bible. But it, remember, the word bush is not in the text, it is thorn. And it's burning thorns, that sets up the theology of what it is about, because you are the thorns, and God is with the thorns, and they are not consumed. Thorns come from sin, so you are the thorns. And the whole picture of the burning bush, though, is that God and sin come together, and the sinful people are not consumed. Remember, the bush on fire is not the strange thing. The strange thing is that it was not consumed. So there's your theology, but it had five parts. Remember, the burning bush, part one, the burning thorns, part one. Part two then came at Sinai, when the fire and Moshe were joined together again. And the third part, though, was the Mishkan, the tabernacle. Moshe's ministry ends with fire and the thorn wood that the Ark of the Covenant is built out of come together. There's fire and there's the Ark. And then Moses saw for the first time why it was not consumed, because between the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant and the fire that came down over the Ark, between the two was now blood. And so now he knew. And then his ministry was over. He knew why God and man could dwell together in spite of sin, is because there was blood. And so that was the third part. The fourth part was the Messiah has to deal with the thorns in order to have his harvest. And that was on the execution tree. Remember, he has the crown of thorns. This is the same wood or bush that was burning in the wilderness. And so part four then completed it with Messiah dealing with the thorns. Part five, though, how can you have a part after the execution of Mashiach on the tree? Part five was last Sunday. Fire on people and the voice of God speaking once again. And you have the birth of the church. So part five, the final part of the burning bush, which we're just going to skip over here now, is the church is you. Okay, so we are in chapter 3, and you can get the tapes on that. It's a great study. But remember, the whole study is based on the fact that bush is not in the text. And in the Brit Hadashah, if you read about the burning bush, it doesn't use the word bush. It uses briar. Okay, if you know anything about briars, you don't want to walk in them. Okay, so we're in chapter 3, and we had, the end of chapter 2, though, is great. God remembered his covenant with the Avraham, Yitzhak, VaYaakov, the Abrahamic covenant. And he says, these are my chosen people whom I love, is my translation for the end of chapter 2. So now we're down to verse 8. We have the burning bush, and Moshe has taken off his shoes. And God says, I have come down to rescue or deliver them from Egypt, Mitzrim, and to deliver them from that land to a land. Whoa, whoopee. Now, you know where I love this part is because of it's about the first part of Brit Avraham is the land. And that's how Israel begins, and that's how Israel is going to end. The land. All right. Okay, so to out from that land to a land good, spacious, and a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, so this is great news. God cares for his people, so he says what he's going to do now to Moshe here. And if you read this in Eve Read, it's fun. Deliver is in the text twice, and land is three times in the text. From that land to the land good, and the land big and flowing with milk and honey. So it's God's plan is what? The land. And this is why the world wants to stop Israel from having that little sliver of land, is because if you stop the land, you'll stop the plan. But we know the plan will not be stopped. Amen. And so it's about the land. So then Hashem the voice out of the fire says something a little concerning after verse 8 here. It says, oh, yeah, by the way, type thing, as I would say, there are six Canaanite races living in the land I'm sending you to. Oh, boy. This was great news for a second. But by the way, six Canaanite races living in the land. And he lists them, right? And then in verse 9, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Okay, so it says, then go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out. So first he says, I'm sending you to six Canaanite races, which of course will all kill you. And then the next thing is, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. Nobody goes to Pharaoh and lives. So first you go to Pharaoh, he'll kill you. And then you're going to go into the land, they'll kill you. This is a great, great story folding out here. Okay, great to this 80-year-old shepherd that just happened to walk over to a bunch of thorns on fire. Then in verse 11, Moshe speaks. This is cool. Now he hasn't said one word. He's been at this bush now, this fire, for about a minute maybe. And all he's ever said is Hineni, which is one word in Hebrew. Here I am. Now he's going to speak after walking up to this strange site and hearing his name and saying Hineni. Can you imagine talking to a bush that's on fire? Yes, get the text here. He's got his shoes off now, and then he hears this great message. And now Moses says, who am I, right? And that I should go to Pharaoh. And like, got to feel a little bit for the guy. Because he just got this wonderful news. and I've been walking in the wilderness now for 40 years with this flock of sheep, and now this happens, right? But it sounds a bit negative, kind of a drag here. But this is a miracle, supernatural event. The fire is talking to him and knows his name, and Moshe seems a little insecure. I would have said, hello, fire. You have me mixed up with somebody. That's what I just said. whatever your name is, fire, because the name has not been revealed yet, but that's coming up. Mr. Fire, sir, with all due respect, you got me mixed up with somebody. Hello. So what is the Lord's response to who am I? the Lord's response, it's perfect, of course. He says, oh, you won't be going alone. I will be with you. Wow. All right. Now we're talking, huh? And how many times Moshe says this through the course of his ministry? I will not go if you don't go. Make sure you're going. Hello. Hello. And then the next thing that happened, hello, Lord. I'm not going to go if you're not coming, right? See, nothing changes in the ministry. But Hashem gives him a sign, and this will be the sign to you. You will worship on this mountain when you come out. And the word worship there I love is the Oved word, which can be work. It's the word for work in Hebrew, or worship. And because sometimes worship is work, but it means to serve. And serve means to work, right? So sometimes worship, we can just say, you should serve the Lord, you should worship the Lord. And sometimes it is like work, but so does that mean you should do it or not? If it's like, I mean, are we all lazy? Or is work good? Right? Work is good, service is good, worship is good. Amen. Okay, Oved is that word. Okay, then, now everything will be fine because we have a sign. You got to feel a bit, though, for this 80-year-old shepherd. Go to Pharaoh. Nobody goes there and lives. Then go to the good land. Six races will be there to kill you. And like, whoa, hey, Lord, slow down a bit. Can't we talk this over for a couple years? I mean, this is like 1 minute into this whole shindig, right? And go do this, and then you're going to go do that, and there's a sign, and whoa. Like, God hadn't spoken to Israel for 400 years. All of a sudden, he's on a roll here. And maybe going fast, too fast for Moshe. Moshe's standing there with his sheep. Well, Lord, I got these sheep to take care of. You got a little batch of sheep. What about the sheep? I'm a happy old shepherd. I don't want to go nowhere, especially Egypt. I'm a murderer there. Remember? He's wanted for murder. First degree murder. They probably had a death sentence there. Okay, and then the sign. Notice the sign only applies till after they come out. How's that going to help? After you come out, you'll worship on this mountain. Yeah, after I come out, hello. What help is that now? And you know, of course, it came true, and it would be a great sign then. But Moses, he's just still like 1.5 minutes into this conversation with these thorns on fire. And he's standing there barefoot, and he's still hiding his face. Okay, verse 13, all right. God will be with me, and we must be successful because he says that we will worship here afterwards. So we move to the next thing. Moses now wonders what the Israelites are going to do when he shows up after 40 years. So he says, who am I? That's the first thing he says after Hineni. And now he says, well, the Israelites... Hello, I haven't been with them for 40 years, and when I left, it wasn't a good picture. So what are they going to say? Like, they're not here to see this blooming miracle. And so we have the famous name of God here in the text, verse 13 and 14. So this is the next thing that Moshe says. He says, what's your name? Wow, what is your name? And here we have the first revelation of who God is in the whole Bible. It retroactive back to Bereshit, Genesis, but right here is really where it begins on the name of God. And in verse 14, and you know, the Tetragrammaton, we all know about it, Yod Heh Vav Heh, which we don't know how to pronounce. But how many of you say this first word that's revealed here, because I say it once in a while here, but I've never heard other people say it in the Jewish Roots movement. Eye. Eye Asher Eye is the revelation of the name. Eye is I am. Asher I am. I am that I am, or I am who I am, or I will be who I will be, different ways to translate this in Hebrew, but basically it's just tell them Eye sent you. And Eye is I am. Wow. It's too good. The great I am. So we have this first revelation of the name, and this is the greatest name for Hashem, or God, in the Bible. And it actually solves all the questions of the universe, if you want to look at it that way. His name is I Am. And so is his name I Am Not? No, his name is I Am. I am that I am. There is God. God is. Wow. And he says, I am, and that pretty much settles everything. It pretty much answers everything. There is God. And I was thinking the greatest and most essential understanding of every person who has ever lived is the existence of God. This is the greatest revelation or understanding that anybody from Adam on has ever had. Every single individual has to deal with this question of is God. And it is the biggest, heaviest, most wonderful question in the world. Remember when I was young, in the 60s, I think, there was the big thing about God is dead. But even saying God is dead means he lived. It's just whether or not he's still living. You ever notice that? Now, most everybody that said that has died. But God has not. Of course he's not dead, right? And our Bible starts out with Bereshit Bore Elohim, right? Va'et ha-shamayim va-ha-aretz. In the beginning, God created. And so there is God in the creation. And we know what Yeshua said before Abraham was. Aye. Yeshua's name is Aye, as he is the Tetragrammaton, of course. And, I remember, was it Shirley MacLaine? She didn't say God was dead. She says, I am God. She's still making movies. I wonder if she still thinks that, since her time can't be far off. She'll be having to deal with that question that Moshe asked, what is your name? Humanism is the God that has kind of taken over our country. And humanism is I am God, that we are all God. And we're the center of the universe, and that's humanism, and it's not a good way to go. Now, socialism, which we hate, communism, is a little different than you being God. Socialism is the government is God. The state is God. And you worship the state. And this is why socialism maintains atheism as one of its ways that it can work. And there's a lot of socialism in the world today. But Yeshua says, I am. This is the definition also of, and if you've known, been around here very long, it's my only definition of eternity. The only definition of eternity by science or by the church or by the Bible. There is no word in this book for time without end. It's just not in the book. Science cannot describe eternity because it's not about time. It's about condition, more of a context, not about time, because God is outside of the fourth dimension. He created the fourth dimension for his purposes. So eternity, God is eternal, and he's not trapped by the fourth dimension like we are, which I can't stand. Lord God, hurry up and come so I can get out of this dimension, and do some time travel. I'll go back and see this thing that Moshe saw, this strange sight. But the definition for eternity, the only definition in the Bible or in science either, is before Abraham was, I am. It's outside of time completely. What is God's name? I am. See? And Yeshua is also. People have been asking me recently about Islam and Allah. About if it's the same God and all this stuff. But first of all, let me tell you that Allah has never existed. He never was. He never is. He never is going to be. He is never anything. He is not I am ever. He is nothing forever. See, it's a false God. False gods, they are called gods, small g, but they do not exist. And so there never has been an Allah, a moon god. If you go up on the moon, it's dead. Okay? There's some footprints and an American flag. Everything else up there, dead. Right? People say we worship the same God. No, because we have a God, the God, and Islam has no God. He does not exist. That's the first thing you can tell people about when they want to compare our gods. Well, we have one. See? And Islam has none. And it's not really, you can't say Allah is Ha-Satan, because Ha-Satan exists. Allah does not exist. So we're not talking about Ha-Satan. We're talking about Allah. Well, he doesn't exist. So then you can go from there, you can compare the two. Allah, God of murder, right? Islam and Allah and the prophet that never prophesied, what's his name, Muhammad, which never prophesied anything. What you have to compare after you make the fact that he does not exist is then you have to move into comparing what the religion speaks. And one is Allah demands the destruction of Israel and the Jewish people. This book, the God Aye, he commands their eternality. They live forever. Israel never goes away. And Jewish people live forever. And so then you have this God has a son. Islam says you can't have a son. God cannot have a son. This Bible, God dies for you because he loves you. Islam, no substitute for sin except blowing up innocent people is the only salvation. So you start comparing these things, and maybe we should do a message about that sometime, comparing I am to the I ain't, but then show people how opposite they are. If the I ain't was to show up, his religion is totally opposite of this one. And so forget the I ain't. We got to move on. Oh, we'll go verse 15 at least here. God, I love verse 15. Maybe we'll just do the first half of verse 15. God also said to Moshe, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. So this is what Moshe is supposed to say to the Israelites after he says, I am, showed up and spoke to me. Okay? Now, it's this continuation. And verse 15, the first half of verse 15 there, has God six times. And it starts out with Elohim also said to Moshe, Yod Heh Vav Heh, the Lord, the Tetragrammaton, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzhak, Elohei Yaakov, has appeared to you. This is my name forever. So it's just too cool here. Elohim, and then the Tetragrammaton, and then Elohei is just the construct form, the possessive form of Elohim. Right? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, man. So this is my name. He is saying, I am is the same God that appeared to Abraham. So Abraham had a God that appeared to him, right? And he's talked with him and made the Abrahamic covenant. This is the same person speaking to Moses now. And that's what it was important for Moses to hear. Remember, when he first said, I am the God of Abraham, he told Moses who was speaking, God was speaking, and he also told Moses who Moses is. You are a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that's who I made the covenant with, and so I am in covenant with you, Moshe. All right, so, and this is the same God because there is only one God. It's still the I am speaking. Amen. The I am is talking to Moshe now. All right, every other god is false and does not exist at all. But here we have Eye, and then it becomes the Tetragrammaton without explanation. And so this is a mysterious part of your Bible, and we can't comment on that today, but everyone knows the Tetragrammaton, Yod, Heh, Vav, Heh, like I said, and all of its various attempts at pronouncing, which we don't do. But Eye is the word that maybe we should use more often. But the Tetragrammaton appears first in Genesis 2:4, after Elohim in the creation. And Moses wrote all five books, but the name actually begins here. And then he uses it as he wrote Bereshit after this thing. He uses the Tetragrammaton there in chapter 2 of Genesis. But it is actually revealed right here. All right? And so Hashem said in verse 12, I will be with you. And we will finish with, we can say the same thing. God is, and God is with us. Isn't that good? It starts out with the thorns on fire, and the message has never ended, never changed. I am, and I am with you. And he is still, and he's still going to be, and always will be. Amen. And that is the great revelation that God has for us, and with the burning thorn bush, which is still ministering and manifesting itself to people today in the world, even to those that stand on the beach and say, I am God, I am God. That I am can still come to that person and reveal himself. To everybody that gets born again today, they come to the burning bush and they have the I am speak to them and say, I am with you. And as he said to Moshe, my people I love. And it's a love thing. It's a God thing, and it's an eternal thing, and he is with us. So I'll finish with this statement. The I am still is. Aren't you glad? So be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let the flames that Moshe saw, let them speak to you today. And this cool thing is, what is the first thing that the flames spoke when Moshe turned aside and saw? The first word was his own name, Moshe, Moshe. And did you know that Hashem knows your name? And he can come to you and he can say your name because it is a personal God. And I had him call my name once out loud, audibly, a bat kol. And I thought to myself, who am I? Who are any of us? But he speaks your name. And he says, this is what we're going to do together. And then he says, I will be with you. I will be with you. Amen. Yah varekaka Adonai v'yishmereka. Yeir Adonai panav eleka v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav eleka v'yosaim lecha shalom b'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar HaShalom, Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah, the great I Am. Amen. Amen.